The one Indian that we must remember that comes out very crucial, B'nai Geya, to the Nes Hanukkah, is that in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, and in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, in the life of Shimon HaTzadik, so to have a menorah that was madlik, more than the amount of shemen that was found in the menorah, that went on every single day. Like the Gemara tells us, that the Ner Maravi, Eidus Ili Yisrael, Shashina Sharebinem. So the Ner Maravi, which they used to light, and was able to stay lit for the night, and lasted for 24 hours, and this went on in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, and existed in the time of the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, in the time of Shimon HaTzadik. So there was constantly an Eidus of the fact that Shechina Shorer B'Yisrael, because they were able to see it. You see it b'chush, a mess that repeats itself every single day, and repeats itself b'dafka with the menorah. This mess stopped after the Misa of Shimon HaTzadik. This mess stopped. So the Ribbono Shel did a gevaldige chesed for Klal Yisrael and made it so that now once more we should be able to see klar that Shechina Shorer B'Yisrael. We should see Al Yedei Anes Goli Shechina Shorer B'Yisrael. It's almost like this is a bolt of lightning that comes out in a very, very dark room. There's darkness all around, and there's Keseda darkness. And we always have to, as you mentioned before, we have to see the Hashgacha, but we have to see the Hashgacha Teich the Teva. And that is always a dark world that we're experiencing. So now, the Ribbono Shel Olam sends us a blick. It's a blick that just lasts for a couple of days, and it's a throwback to the blick that used to go on every single day in the Beis HaMikdash, in the time that the Ner Maharavi was daily. And then we constantly, for years, hundreds of years, we had a Eidus that the Shechina was Shorer B'Yisrael. So now, although it's still Shechina Shorer B'Yisrael, and we could see that by following the Hashgacha Protis, but that's a Choshech D'Gematzav. That's a situation where you really have to look. You have to look very hard in order to be able to see it. So now there's a bolt of lightning that comes down, and it's clear. It becomes very, very clear. It's a reminder. It's a refreshing reminder. And it's a reminder that we have to take with us Keseder. They have to take with them as they continued on in the Nisyonis of the second Beis HaMikdash that they still had to go through. And we also have to take it with us every day as a lesson from Hanukkah as we continue on in the Golus that we're in. After the story of Hanukkah, as we mentioned, this was the Nes that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, but by all means, the Yevanim and the Misyavnim, they were still found all over in Eretz Yisrael. The Seinev was still found in Eretz Yisrael. And the fact that we took over the Beis HaMikdash, we were able to do the Aveda, so that was very true. But the Tzora, even though were found in different parts of Eretz Yisrael, were still found in Tzoras, still found themselves in a very, very difficult situation. And word got back to Yehuda HaMakabi that there were Yidden that were in Tzoras in different parts of the world. So Yehuda HaMakabi went to all of these different places, and he waged war against people that were living, the Goyim that were found, that were bringing Tzoras onto the Yidden in different parts of Eretz Yisrael. And wherever he went, he was able to help out the Yidden that were living in different parts of Eretz Yisrael. But as we're saying, there was Tzoras all over Eretz Yisrael, where the enemy there with their hand was stronger than the hand of Yehuda. So there was always Redifus and always Retzichas Lachman Laslam that were going on. The Medrash tells over about the Misa of Yosi ben Yoizer, that Yosi ben Yoizer, as you mentioned, the Nasi, so he was taken out by the Goyim, by the Yevonim, to be killed. And the Medrash tells over the Maisa about how his nephew said to him, his nephew was one of the Misyavnim, and he said to him, you claim to be Oisei Ritzayne Shalmokim, so look what happens to the person who does the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. To that, Yosi ben Yoizer turned to him and he said, La'Oisei Ritzayne HaBoiroi, so if this is what happens to the person that does the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Alachas Kama V'Kama, La'Ein Oisim Ritzayne HaBoiroi, can you imagine what's going to happen to you that you don't do the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Medrash tells over a whole Arichas about how this was Nichnas L'Teich Liboi, his words, and Mamela he was Chayzer B'Tshuva. But we understand that this is just a little peek at what was going on throughout Eretz Yisrael. There were Gedaliah Torah that went to Mesiras Nefesh. There were people from the Amoratzim, and the people who were Niskarev by the Misyavnim, that went through these tremendous Nisyonis. And most of them, Taka, were not Chayzer B'Tshuva. The Gemara tells us over the Gemara in Saita. The Gemara says that with the Misa of Yosi ben Yoizer and Yosi ben Yochanan, so it came to an end what the Gemara, what the Mishnah calls Ishvash Kailis. And Rashi tells us the definition of Ishvash Kailis means that they had all of the Milas. Chochma, Yerushamayim, Chesed, And Pashas, what this Mishnah is telling us is that it was sort of at the end of an era. They realized themselves that this was the end of an era that was coming onto Klal Yisrael. As you mentioned, in the time of these Nasiim, so this was in this time, in the time of Matisyo, in the time of Yudah Maccabi. So this was the situation, where all of the different tzaras came onto Klal Yisrael, and Memela, they were at the end of an era. Over there, the Gemara also says that in the end of the life of Yosi ben Yoizer, that's when Machlokes started in Klal Yisrael. As we pointed out in the Mishnah, there's Machlokes with the Zugais, the Negea to the Halacha of Smicha, and this began at the end of the life of Yosi ben Yoizer and Yosi ben Yochanan. As the wars continued throughout Eretz Yisrael, and Yehuda HaMakkabi found himself constantly doing battle with the Yevonim, went looking for an Eitzah of how to succeed. So he sent to Rome. As he mentioned, Rome then was starting to come up as a very big koyach in the world at that time. And they were bringing tzoros onto Yevonim. They began bringing tzoros onto the Yevonim. So he thought that perhaps he would sign a treaty with the Romans, and they should help him against the Yevonim, against the Syrians. And the Ramban points out, and even though this particular bakasha of Yehuda didn't bring any results, but this was the first attempt that they had to go through this system of looking for aid outside of Eretz Yisrael, looking for aid by the Goyim, looking for a treaty by the Goyim in order to help them in their internal tzaras in Eretz Yisrael. And we'll talk about this Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach more ba'arichas later on, but the Ramban in Parshas Bereishis, when he talks about how Yaakov Avinu sent Shluchim to Esav for Russia, so in the Ramban over there holds that Medrash, that it was a taina against Yaakov Avinu, he says over, Marzik Ba'oznei Kelev, that why did you go? Esav was going about in his derech. You could have gone about doing your thing. You didn't have to go to send Shluchim to Esav. you're holding on to the ears of a dog. In other words, if you want to tackle the dog, you hold on to his ears, and then afterwards you find that you can't let go, because if you let go, so then the dog is going to turn on you and he's going to attack you. So, Ataina and Yaakov Avinu, why he went to send messengers to Esav. And the Ramban then brings that this is what happened in Egea to the Chashmonaim also, that they went to look for friends from amongst the Goyim. And that was also a mistake. As he mentioned, right now no treaty was met, but Yehuda planted the seed amongst the Klal Yisrael that there is such a method, and this was a mistake. And we understand that what the Ramban is telling us is that Benegeya to Sholem and in Eretz Yisrael amongst the Eden, so we have to work with certain Gedarim. The first Gedar has to be Esav Seni Es Yaakov. That's the Aleph. And being that that's the Aleph, if we're going to look for somebody to help us, so the only one that can help us is the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's a very practical statement. That's the Metzius Advar. Because to look for a Seine, that he should be your ally and he should help you, of course that's ridiculous. A Seine is not going to be your ally. Elamai, we think, we look at this person who the Torah tells us is a Seine, and he looks friendly enough, and we think to ourselves, well, maybe times have changed, maybe the situation has changed, and maybe right now he is a friend of ours, so right now we can look to him for help, and that's a choice. Sure, it's right now because of his circumstances, it's right now because of something that's going on, but what we need to know is that betoichai, in the toich of this Roman, this guy, it's Esav Seine Es Yaakov. And Aibazoi, to look to them as a method of help is a foolish move. And it was a taina against Yehuda Maccabee, and it's, we're going to see weiter, that it's going to be a taina against the Chashmonaim, that they even entertain such a method, and by using such a method, they taka brought a tzara on Klal Yisrael. As the story goes on, ultimately Yehuda HaMakkabee died in battle, and the next brother took over, Yonasan, the next brother Yonasan, so he took over. And he started, he carried on the battle against the Syrians. In the time of Yonasan, the way the situation worked out, there was amongst the Syrians themselves, there were different people who wanted the position of Melech in Syria. And because of that, because of the competition that there was amongst the Goyim, so they were looking for different people as allies to go over to their side. And being that this Yonasan was a successful general, so each one of them came to Yonasan and wanted Yonasan to go with them, and wanted to wage, they wanted to work out a treaty with them. Yonasan was a very shrewd diplomat. And now we have a new kayach that we find by the children of Matis Yehu. If Yehuda was the general, so Yonasan is the diplomat. And he found ways of maneuvering one against the other, Benegeya, to these two different people that were looking to be Melech over the Syrians. And by doing that, he was able to bring peace into Eretz Yisrael. Much better method than having to do battle. Now there was taka peace in Eretz Yisrael, using his political talents, his negotiating talents, so he was able to bring peace into Eretz Yisrael. Over here also, Benegeya to Yonasan, so his end came about by the fact that he was out-negotiated, or out-politicized, by one of the kings in the amongst the Syrians. They used treachery, simple treachery, in order to bring his end. They convinced him somehow that he should come, and they should meet together, and they would meet in peace. And he believed them, and got together with them. And once they got together, and his guard was down, so they killed him. So this leader in Klal Yisrael, who thought that perhaps there was a thread of Erlichkeit that was found by these goyim. So he found that Nebuch the hard way, that they were full of treachery. And whatever they did, and whatever peace came on to Eretz Yisrael, came about only because it was worthwhile for them personally. And it didn't go at all a step beyond that. The friendship that they showed to us, there wasn't a thread of truth in any one of these symbols of friendship that they sent us. It was only because it was Kedai, and as soon as it wasn't Kedai, so they would use Shkorim, they would turn on their word, they would do Kol Midrosha Ba'ilam in order to bring about the end of this Yainasan. And perhaps that was the taina, that this Yainasan was not makir to the extent, the midah of sheker that you have by the goyim. So once again, now you have Yehuda is not here, and this Yainasan, who's a tremendous kayach, is not here. And the one that followed and took over the malchus in his place was Shimon. Shimon was the last of the surviving brothers. Now we have to understand who Shimon was. Shimon, in certain respects, was the greatest of all of the brothers, because when before Matisyahu left the world, and he realized that he was holding in his last moments, and he called together all of his sons, and he designated Yehuda, that Yehuda should be the leader of the sons, because he understood that Yehuda Taka was the biggest kayach amongst the sons. He was the biggest fighter, the biggest warrior. But at the same time, he told Yehuda and he told all of his sons to take counsel by Shimon. In the Pasha Galoshin, they use that he's Huya Avlochem, that he's going to be, not only is he's wise, take counsel by him, and also he is going to take care of, with his Chochmah, he's going to take care of everybody. So Shimon now is the wisest of all of the brothers. And we understand that the wisdom, when we talk about Matisyahu, and Matisyahu giving this compliment to Shimon about the Chochmah of Shimon, and Shimon having this Chochmah, so we're not talking about Stam Chochmah, we're talking about, the Chochmah Satayr. I mean, obviously he was a very, very special person, and now he became the leader in Klal Yisrael. And the emes is that in the days of Shimon, so Shalom finally came to Eretz Yisrael. The different nations that are around them, the Syrians were busy fighting with other enemies, and the Egyptians were fighting with their enemies. Everybody had somebody else to fight with, and they were more than happy to leave Eretz Yisrael alone, and to leave the Yidden that were living in Eretz Yisrael alone. And Memela, for the first time in about 30 years or so, there was finally Shalom in Eretz Yisrael. And when they describe it, the historians of the time describe it, they say that people had what to eat. They use the expressions Ishtachas Gafna, Ishtachas Teinosai, Lamdu Teira. They were able to get together and learn Teira, because that's what Yidden do. They get together and they learn Teira. And the Emes HaDvarim is that a little bit we could see this also, because if we look at the Nochama, we follow the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, and we discussed earlier at Tignush Yisoychei, we discussed the first one of the Zugais. Well, the next one of the Zugais was Yehoshua ben Prachya and Nati Harabeli. And when you talk about what Yehoshua ben Prachya taught, so he taught Aseilecha Rav, Kneilecha Chover, that was the Limudim that he taught. So it looks like that, but Gehalten dabei, they were coming to learn. So he was telling the people, so it's, you don't have to be afraid, you don't have to worry, and you don't have to be holed up in your house or in your town, afraid to travel to yeshivas, afraid to go to other places to learn. No, it's not a problem anymore. I say, look, Rav, now you can go find Taka the yeshiva that's appropriate for you, the Rav that's going to teach you Torah, Kenei Lecha Chover, get for yourself a Chaver. Interesting over there, Rashi says, Kenei Lecha Chover, it means Svarim, person should get Svarim. So, it's all, whatever the Pshat and the Rashi is, but it's telling us that there was a Ribui of Limud HaTorah that took place in that time. And as we say, even in those who record the history, so they say that was what was going on in that time, that there was peace, and people were able to, they were able to sit down and to learn. This Shimon had two sons. One of his sons' names was Yochanan, and the other one, his name was Yehuda, and they were his chief generals. And they were the ones that helped him in his battle against the Syrians at one point tried to come. So he sent out his sons as the head of his army in order to do battle with them. And once again, peace was able to remain in Eretz Yisrael, and people were able to go about their business, leading the lives of Eden, the way Eden are able to lead their lives. So now we have, after 30 years of war against the Syrian Greeks and against the Sinai, that was on all sides, the enemy was now out of Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael now was able to go back to the situation that Eretz Yisrael would like to be in. The leader of the people, once again, is Shimon, the last of the sons of Matisyahu. And here we hear a little bit, and we'll discuss the taina that the Ramban in Chumash brings against the Chashmenoi. That Malchus in Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be in the house of David HaMelech. Malchus in Eretz Yisrael is not supposed to be in the hands of the Kehanim. And the Ramban, on the Pasuk of Layoso Shevet Mi Yehuda, in Parashas, in Bereishis, when Yaakov Avinu gave the brachas, to Yehuda, so the bracha that he gave to Yehuda amongst the brachas was Layoser Shevet Mi Yehuda. And the Ramban says that what he said then was that Malchus, the Inyan of Malchus, so that's something that is supposed to remain by Yehuda. It's supposed to be in the hands of Yehuda. And the Ramban tells us, after saying this, the Ramban says, and this was a punishment to the Chashmenoyim who ruled in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And the Ramban prefaces this by saying that it's Taka Pella, and we're soon going to learn about this, the Einish that he's referring to, because we're going to learn about how ultimately this last son, Shimon, also was killed. And the Ramban is nisfoil, that all of the sons of Matisyahu were all killed out. And the reason he's the spoil is because, as the Ramban says, ki hoyo chasidei elyon, all of them, they're all chasidei elyon. And he says, il molei hein nishtakha teirav ha-mitzvahs v'Yisrael. And if it wouldn't have been for the Hashmenoim, so Torah and Mitzvahs would have been completely forgotten in Klal Yisrael, as we've seen. The whole Maisa of Hanukkah, this came about through the Hashmenoim. V'aval pikein nen shu'aynish gadol, aval pikein, they got this terrible punishment. Ki abas b'nei Hashmenoi hazokin hachosid, hamolchim zeh achar zeh, because the sons of Matisyahu that ruled one after the other, in kol gvurasam v'hatzlochasam, as successful as they were, naflu b'yad oyveihem b'cheref, they still fell into the hands of their enemies through a sword. And at the end, the Gemara tells us that the einish was so terrible that about the house of the Hashmenoim it says, command Oma mi beis Hashmenoi koasina avdehu. There's nobody left over from the house of Hashmenoim. And if somebody comes along and says that he is from the house of the Hashmenoim, so you have to know that they're not from the children of the Hashmenoim, but avdehu. They are from the avodim of the Hashmenoim. And that we're going to learn about exactly what the Ramban was referring to. But the point is, as the Ramban says, shenichrasu kulan ba'oven hazeh, that they were all killed out. And this is what we're learning, that all of them were killed out. The whole family was killed out. They were all killed out. Why? Because of this chet. And the chet was that Yaakov Avinu gave over Malchus to Yehuda. And the Ramban explains, it's Bedavki Yehuda and nobody else. And then the Ramban says, and especially not the Kayhanim, because the Kayhanim have a very, very specific Avodah that they have to do, Benegeya to the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, so they, more than anybody, should not get involved in Malchus. And they have the opportunity, after winning the battles, to turn over the Malchus to Yehuda, and they did it, they didn't. And because of that, they were all killed out because of this chet. For not turning over the Malchus to Yehuda, giving it back to Yehuda, for that chet, they were all killed out. Now, I would like to perhaps add a little bit hasbara into this Ramban. The Ramban is the way the Ramban, the simple pshat Ramban is, that it's an einish for the chet of not giving over the Malchus to Yehuda because it was promised to Yehuda, and Avada, that's the pashta pshat and that's the ikar pshat. But I'd like to be mice at something. In Parshas Shoftim, so over there in Perek Yud-Zayin, Pasuk Yud-Ches, where it talks about the mitzvah of taking a melech, asima alai melech in the parasha in Shoftim, where it talks about how you should have a king. So the pasuk over there says that al pi chazal that there's a mitzvah that the melech has to write mishnah hatayra hazois. And if you look in Rashi, and everybody says, in other words, everybody has a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, but the Melech has to write another Sefer Torah, Mishnah HaTorah HaZais, and he has to write another Sefer Torah. In Rabbi Yaakov in the Sefer, and Mr. Yaakov explains, and he goes like this, he says, according to Chazal, there's a Shaila, exactly what is this Mishnah HaTorah HaZais? Is it just another Sefer Torah that he needs two Sefer Torah? So he brings some Chazal that the Mishnah Torah that is being referred to in the Pasuk refers to Sefer Dvar. The Sefer that we're learning is Sefer Dvar. And he brings like that from Rashi in Yehoshua that the Mishnah Torah Seder Dvorim is what the Melech was mitzvah to carry with him at all times. Like the Pasuk says that the Mishneh Torah, the Melech had to have with him Kiseder, wherever he went, he had to have the Mishneh Torah. So according to this pshat, that it means that the Sefer Dvorim was the Sefer that he had to have with him at all times. Why Sefer Dvorim? So he explains, because Sefer Dvorim deals with the halachas that are negeya to the melech. It deals with the halachas that are negeya to the tzibur. It's like he puts it, kol hadinim hanegim l'chaye hatzibur v'hanhogas haklal. Yeah, these are all the halachas that are negeya to the tzibur and the hanhogas that are negeya to the klal. This is what goes on in Sefer Dvarim, and therefore this is the Sefer that the Melech had to have with him. In other words, the Melech constantly has to make decisions b'negeya to the Tzibur on a daily basis, over and over again. He has to make decisions b'negeya to the Tzibur. Therefore, he has to have Sefer Dvarim with him, because how should he know what kind of decisions to make? Well, he looks into Sefer Dvarim, and there he's going to find the answer to all of his shailas, as we know from what we are taught from all of our Gedolim and all of the Svarim and in Chazal, that any question that a person has, he'll find the answer in the Torah HaKadosha. So the questions that a Yochid has, so he's going to find his answers throughout Sefer Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and the questions that the Melech is going to have, so he's going to learn Sefer Dvarim, and he's going to find over there the answers to his questions, the questions that a Melech has. When Yaakov Avinu, we know that every person has his chelik in Torah. And every person, there's such an inyan of that Masha Talmud Vosik Osid L'Chadesh, every person has his chelik in Torah. And every person is machadish different in Yonim of Torah. But if you're in Shevet Yehuda, and so the Torah that you could be machadish is Torah b'negeya to Malchus. So when Shilas came to the Melech, and the Melech looked into Sefer Dvarim, and he came from Yehuda, and Yehuda's chelik of Torah was the chelik of Malchus, so he was able to have insights by looking into Sefer Dvarim b'negeya to how to fear Malchus. Somebody else who's not from Shevet Yehuda, who his chelik of Torah is not nichlal in the inyanim of Malchus, so he's going to look in the Torah and he's not going to be able to find the answers to the shilas that he has. Different problems that come up. How should I deal with this? What should I do? Should I go this way, that way? What should I do? I'm going to open up the Chumash and I'm going to look for the answers. Well, if your chelik of Torah is negeya to the Indian of Malchus, if you're enough of a Talmud Chochem and you have enough Siyata Dishmai and you'll be Zeicha, the same Chalkeinu V'Seira Secha, and that's Nichlal and your Chalik of the Torah, so you'll find the answers. But somebody who doesn't have that Chalik in Torah, he's not going to find the answers. And perhaps this is what is meant, therefore, that what the Oynish of the Chashmin Noyim is, that you can't be a Melech. It's not just that Malchus was given away to Yehuda, and you're taking away Yehuda's position. That's true also. But it's also, how are you going to fear the Malchus? How are you going to know what to do? You have to look in the Torah to find out what to do, but that's not your chelik in Torah. And therefore it's foolish to think that you're going to be able to find a way to be able to fear your Malchus. And so we are going to learn that Shimon, as wise as he was, and as great as he was, there were decisions that he had to make. And maybe if we would have been in his position, we would have made the exact same decision. But they were bad decisions, they were wrong decisions. And because of this, the decisions that he made brought about that Tzoris once again came back into Eretz Yisrael. And the next time we are going to discuss exactly what happened.